This is Sharon Grant for the Old Mole Variety Hour. Today, I'll read excerpts from the article, Rethinking the 4th of July by Bill Bigelow, from the July 2nd, 2018 Zen Education Project website. It starts. In Portland, Oregon, where I live, the 4th of July holiday offers an excuse for a wonderful annual blues festival in Waterfront Park downtown. Unfortunately, in my neighborhood, it also provides cover for people to blow off fireworks that terrify young children and animals, and that turn the air thick with smoke and errant projectiles. Veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder are also at risk. Apart from the noise pollution, air pollution, and flying debris pollution, there is something profoundly inappropriate about blowing off fireworks at a time when the United States is waging war and underwriting war with real fireworks around the world. But the yahoo of fireworks also turns an immensely complicated time in U.S. history into a cartoon of miseducation. For example, check out Ray Raphael's Re-Examining the Revolution at the Zen Education Project, an article that every history teacher should read before wading into the events leading into 1776. Raphael analyzed 22 elementary, middle school, and high school texts and found them filled with inaccuracies, some merely silly, but others that leave students with important misunderstandings about U.S. history and how social change does and does not happen. Raphael offers some context for the Declaration of Independence. In 1997, Pauline Meyer published American Scripture, where she uncovered 90 state and local declarations of independence that preceded the U.S. Declaration of Independence. The consequence of this historical tidbit is profound. Jefferson was not a lonely genius conjuring his notions from the ether. He was part of a nationwide political upheaval. Similarly, Raphael reports that in 1774, common farmers and artisans from throughout Massachusetts rose up by the thousands and overthrew all British authority. In the small town of Worcester, only 300 voters, 4,622 militiamen from 37 surrounding communities lined both sides of Main Street and forced British-appointed officials to walk the gauntlet, hats in hand, reciting their recantations 30 times each so everyone could hear. There were no famous leaders for this event. The people elected representatives who served for one day only, the ultimate in term limits. Quote, the body of the people, Raphael pointed out, made decisions and the people decided that the old regime must fall. As Raphael concludes, quote, textbook authors and popular history writers fail to portray the great mass of humanity as active players, agents on their own behalf, unquote. Instead, textbooks credit great men, Washington, Franklin, Jefferson, and render all others as mere followers. And there's a lot more that complicates the events surrounding the 4th of July and the Revolutionary War. As Raphael notes, quote, not one of the elementary or middle school texts I reviewed even mentions the genocidal Sullivan campaign, one of the largest military offenses of the war, which burned Iroquois villages and destroyed every orchard and farm in its path to deny food to Indians, end quote. Nor do texts mention the indigenous resistance movements of the 1780s in response to American settler expansion, which Raphael calls, quote, the largest coalitions of Native Americans in our history, end quote. This is Sharon Grant for the Old Mole Variety Hour, reading excerpts from the article Rethinking the 4th of July by Bill Bigelow. And he continues, in the book, The Counter-Revolution of 1776, Slave Resistance and the Origins of the United States of America, Gerald Horn, the author, points out that more enslaved Africans in the American colonies fought with the British than with the American colonists. As Horn told Democracy Now! Hosts Juan Gonzalez and Amy Goodman, quote, it makes little sense for slaves to fight alongside slave masters so that slave masters could then deepen the persecution of the enslaved, end quote. Included at the Zen Education Project site is a link to Danny Glover, who performs one of history's most passionate denunciations of U.S. racism and hypocrisy, Frederick Douglass's The Meaning of the 4th of July for the Negro. Howard Zinn introduces Glover at one of the remarkable The People Speaks events. Douglass delivered the speech on July 5th, 1852 in Rochester, New York, at a Declaration of Independence commemoration, and his speech begins, quote, "What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him, more than any other days in the year, the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is the constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham, your boasted liberty an unholy license, your national greatness swelling vanity, your sound of rejoicing are empty and heartless, your denunciation of tyrants brass-fronted impudence, your shout of liberty and equality hollow mockery, your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgivings with all your religious parade and solemnity are to him mere bombast, fraud, deception, impiety, and hypocrisy, a thin veil to cover up crimes which would disgrace a nation of savages. There is not a nation on earth guilty of practices more shocking and bloody than are the people of the United States at this very hour," unquote. His words call out through the generations to abandon the empty shout of liberty and equality on July 4th, and to put away the fireworks and the flags. In the spirit of Frederick Douglass, the Zen Education Project urges teachers to use July 4th as a time to rethink how we equip students to reflect on the complicated birth of the United States of America. This is Sharon Grant from the Old Mole Variety Hour. I've just read excerpts from the article, Rethinking the 4th of July by Bill Bigelow, from the July 2nd, 2018 Zen Education Project website.